We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Lots of stuff to disagree on if you're looking for it. Cake versus pie, apples or oranges, this sports team versus this sports team. Which movie star is better, Ryan Goosebaby or Charming Tater? I don't know. Some people even argue for tree.
You're just standing there, huh? Listen to this opinion. I got an opinion.
Who am I to judge, though? Maybe that tree said something about his mama. I'm just saying, some people just get worked up about anything. Even One Direction, they're not all going the same direction anymore. Bye-bye, Zayn. Everyone loved you. You broke everyone's heart. Bye-bye. Some people argue about which animal is better, cat, dog, elephant, or donkey. Anyway. Okay. You're not always going to agree. Even with the most agreeable person in the world. Just saying. So look, in a world with so many things to disagree on, we gotta learn how to disagree without making everybody feel terrible. Step one, treat people like they're people, people. I know, seems pretty simple. But in a heated argument, you can forget that you're talking to a person, a human being, someone who has a heartbeat. Unless you're arguing with a tree, that's a whole other problem. I can't help you there. Step two, listen. Listen, before trying to change someone's opinion, take time to listen to them, even if what they say does not make sense. That's the power of treating someone like a person. You gotta hear them out. You got two ears and one nose for a reason. You gotta listen more than you smell. I'm pretty sure that's not right. Keep listening. Step three, pause, breathe, love. When you disagree, you don't want to do some crazy stuff, like yell, or write and release a whole entire album, outlining that you're right and they're wrong. Don't do it. Instead, you gotta pause, breathe, love. It's okay to disagree. It's not okay to be mean. Don't say it until you can say it with love. There's plenty of legit stuff to be mad at in the world. This life stuff, it's hard. Let's not just spend our time here being mad at each other. You don't have to see eye to eye to work shoulder to shoulder, people. Step four, are you stuck in an argument? Distract them. Look, I know we don't see eye to eye, but baby koalas are awesome.
But we weren't talking about that.
Did you see it? Three words, baby koalas. That's two words. All you want to do is disagree. Just enjoy the koala babies, man. Baby koalas bring peace. Step five, accept it. Here's something you gotta accept. Not everybody's the same. And that's a good thing. I mean, imagine a world with just full of Rainn Wilsons. Nightmare, right? I'm just kidding, Rainn Williams. You're a beautiful and amazing specimen. I'm just saying, we need variety. We need disagreement. We may not like it, but we need each other. We just gotta learn to be more awesome to each other. It's like what Nelson Mandela said. If you wanna make peace with your enemy, you have to work with your enemy. And then he becomes your partner. And then there's Gandhi, he said, honest disagreement is often a good sign of progress. I mean, both of them have disagreements with people. Well, it's not always easy, but they try to treat people like they're people, people. We can also look to the words of somebody else. The amazing Pokemon, Meowth. We do have a lot in common. The same air, the same earth, the same sky. Maybe if we start looking at what's the same, instead of always looking at what's different. Well, who knows? Yeah, that's from the Pokemon movie. So it has to be true. It is true, you know it is. Grown-ups, we kids have been watching. We've been learning how to disagree with people by watching you. We've seen some healthy disagreements, and also lots of, recent disagreements. Nobody wins when all we want to do is win. We got a whole world to make more awesome. No time to be yelling back and forth to each other. Maybe we should stop, breathe, love. It's okay, it's gonna be okay. We can disagree, but we can't let it make us forget. Step six, dance.
You guys get anything out of that? I thought it would be nice to break the tension after this week. Listen, Jesus is still on the throne. Everything's going to be all right. Every little thing is going to be all right. You may be saying, Pastor Chad, I know God is in control, but as a country, where do we go from here? It's simple. We go forward. We go forward. Today I'm talking about healing the divide. healing the divide. And so how, focusing on what is in front of us, not what's behind us. If we want to go forward, you can't look at what happened, what's behind us, how things, we've got to move forward. Look what it says in Philippians 3, 13 through 15. It says this, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some points, I believe God will make it plain to you." Now, I don't know how many in here consider themselves a mature Christian, but what I do know is the fruit of a mature Christian is putting things behind us and pressing on towards the heavenly prize. That is the fruit. That is the fruit. And again, if you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. That's where we're at. It's okay to disagree. But we need unity on some major key issues we got to talk about. Okay? What I know is what we need is healing. And how we get there is unity. And where we find that is in Jesus. Would you agree in that? We must be above the worldly standards. It's okay for your friend who does not know Jesus to act nuts. It's okay for somebody that does not have hope in an eternal Savior to act totally freaked out and scared. It is not okay for you and I to act this way. Get over it. We are beyond it. And what I'm trying to tell you is this. I'm trying to tell you that if your peace and your life is based on who's in the White House, you will never be happy. You just won't. So what I'm trying to encourage you is, hey, God is still sitting on the throne. And he has called us to be the head and not the tail. To be above and not beneath. He's called you to be the head, so stop acting like a tail. Some of you get that later. So if what we need is healing, and how we get there is unity, and where we find it is Jesus, where do we begin? L-O-V. Some of you are going to feel like after we're done today, you're going to feel like, man, Chad just did marriage counseling. And I'm going to tell you, yes. Because the fact of the matter is, it's about love. When we act outside of love, we act outside of Christ. Doesn't sound difficult. But we've got to focus on love. And let's flip with me to 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to jump around a little bit, but look what it says here. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secrets, plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Jump with me to verse 11. It says, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is... there is no gain where there is no love. There's no gain where there is no love. Listen, if your candidate won and the world is beginning to look more like you hoped it would, but you do not love and treat others well in the way that you wanted to be treated, then you still have nothing and are like a clanging cymbal. To the other side, If your candidate did not win and the world seems like it is moving further from what you want, and you act out of aggression and throw stones as words or literal stones, I don't know, in your pain and do not love the other side, you too have nothing and are a clanging cymbal. Do you get it? We were called to grow up and put away childish things. We're all humans and we have one Father. Parents, there's nothing worse than having children pitted against each other. There's nothing worse than having peace lost in a home because of an issue. There's nothing worse than that struggle that happens, that tension that happens inside a home where your two of your children are fighting with and against and at each other. And it's even worse when the thing they're fighting about, you know, isn't really that big of a deal. Do you know I have had peace lost in my house over Play-Doh? My kids have lost their stuffing over Play-Doh. They have gone nuts. It starts nice. They play nice. They go, one of them is making a pizza and the other one's making a pie and someone's making this and that. And before you know it, all of a sudden it's this crisis because there's a Play-Doh lack. There's this loss of stuff. And so they lose their stuffing. They go nuts. All of a sudden these kids are arguing over Play-Doh. And they're arguing, and they're arguing, and they're arguing. And, well, you have more. I need more. I need pepperonis for my pizza. You don't even like pepperonis. Well, I'm not really eating it. I'm like, yeah, don't eat it. It doesn't taste as good as it smells. Someone told me. But listen, they're too busy fighting to even focus on the one that gave them the Play-Doh in the first place. They're too busy fighting about Play-Doh, but I'm the Play-Doh provider. I'm the problem solver. If they could stop fighting over the Play-Doh and focus on the one that has more than enough, I could just say, hey, how about this? Let's not fight over Play-Doh. Let's not fight over the color of the Play-Doh. Let's not fight over hey, there's more than enough. Oftentimes, we don't put away childish things and focus on the problem solver. We just keep fighting about the problem. You never knew Play-Doh could be spiritual. This is why we pray to God rather than just stomping our feet and fighting. God, is my heart right on this issue? How do I know it's right? God, show me in your word where my heart is aligned to your word. Let me know that I'm right, first of all. And then can I be, because here's the thing, you may come to find out through looking through the word, actually the things that you believe aren't exactly right. And here's the thing. Okay, God, change me. Clearly, I have too much of the world's residue that I'm seeing things in the wrong way. But what about this? What if you read the words and it does prove out what you think is right? Put down your stones. We don't need to fight over it. Can we? Who cares? If you're right, can I promise you, God is going to win. And whoever's in the White House, yes, we should be praying for them. Yes, we should vote because we're Americans. Yes, but at the end, I thought we were the civilization that democracy actually plays out in, which we make changes, sweeping changes, big changes, without bullets. But just because we didn't pick up arms does not mean it was peaceful either. Come on, we got to be above that. We need to stop arguing. And honestly, I hope God challenges you on your social media game. Is it about love or trying to prove you're right? You know, I've looked from the outside on some of these things, and I'm seeing people even within this house fighting at each other. I'm just like, is that God honoring? Like, is if you are promoting division, God won't promote you. We got to love our neighbor. Yes, we need to know truth. Yes, we need to believe truth. Yes, we need to learn truth. But what I got to tell you is God is more concerned about how we take care of his people than he is about our thoughts. And what I mean is our opinions. You can have an opinion on what happened this past week, but you cannot have an opinion on how you treat people. Okay? We need to be united and stop fighting and arguing. We need to stop arguing over the seats in the Congress and over who's sitting in the Oval Office. We need to focus on the fact that there's still an eternal God on the throne who, at the end of the day, is going to be the person I look to of whether I'm going to have a happy life, whether I'm going to have a successful life. It's always only Jesus, and it's by no other name. We need love. Where's the love, y'all? Number one, why do we need love? Because love cares. Love cares. Too many people just say, I don't care anymore. Well, either you're numbing your senses or you're choosing to actually step away from the thing God called you to. Because God wants you to care, but he wants you to care in love. Love cares. If we love Jesus and put him above the circumstances of our world, then we learn to care. Look what John 21:14-17 says. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs. Jesus told him, continues. Jesus repeated the same question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. See, loving Jesus is not just about having a heart towards him. It's how we actually take care of his people. And in case you were wondering, he has sheep on both sides of the aisle. Matthew 22:37 said this. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor is not determined by your faith or political party, but those you share air with. Your coworkers, your associates, your countrymen, your Facebook feed. These are our neighbors. Who are you sharing air with? How are you treating them? We need more love because love raises the care level. I love what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said. He said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. The answer is love. Number two, love heals. It heals. It restores. You may be saying, Chad, I can't focus on love right now. Have you looked around? It's the end of the world. You see this? It's the end of the world. I've never seen it this bad. I'm just prepping, you know, my Armageddon supplies. I've called in my crate that's going to be buried in my backyard. I'm prepping. This is the end of the world. Look what it says in 1 Peter. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Don't freak out. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. Love covers a multitude of sins. You're saying, Chad, the world's going to end, but we're still called to deep love. Stop losing your stuffing. Get it together. Even if the world is ending, even more reason to put your focus where it needs to be. Goodness. What will restore the good in humanity is sharing the love of Jesus, especially to whom you feel do not deserve it. I've been watching some craziness on Facebook. I'm sitting there and I'm like, no. You guys are fighting. You know, I'm looking at people fighting and they're no longer friends anymore. And this person's unfriended that person. And all of a sudden you're just looking around going, where's the love, y'all? Get the black eyed peas in here. All of a sudden, we don't think they deserve our time to sit and have lunch with anymore. They don't deserve our Facebook friend request anymore. But actually, who were you to decide who deserved love in the first place? Woo! You're welcome for not getting into all of your arguments. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us this. Let's look. For everything there's a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance like kid president. Look, there's a time, there's a season for everything under the sun, and it's time to heal. A time to build again the resilience and tolerated diversity in this country. We're not all going to be the same, and that's okay. It's okay. Stop it. It's okay. There can no longer be those screaming for equality without tolerance for equal rights on both sides of the aisle. If you want equality, then every voice can be heard. Doesn't mean you have to agree with it, but come on. We live in America still, right? The America where people's ideas are allowed to be spoken. The fact that all of those that went and fought for our rights, even fought for the rights of those who would say things they don't agree with. And that doesn't mean you have to like it, but it does mean that you're supposed to keep in order. As a believer, it's okay for your neighbor to lose their stuff. It's okay for them to go nuts. It's not okay for someone who knows Jesus, because we're called to be the head, so stop acting like the tail. We've got to be above this. We cannot allow personal views to create division on minor things. You may want to scream and say they are not minor, but the major thing is the cross. The major thing is a world who do not know how to deal with the world around them because they don't have the hope that you and I have hope in. They don't have the anchor in Jesus. We've got to understand the major thing. You guys understand, for you guys, for just in general, whoever has ever had to use a real roadmap, not a GPS system, you remember in the bottom corner of the roadmap or in the top corner, there was something called a key. And the key helped you decipher the map. Things you didn't understand, there was a key. For all of you that never used that and only use GPS, there's these things called treasure maps that I'm sure you used to play with. Okay? And in the treasure maps, there was this little thing that helped you understand what each thing meant. It was called the key. So the point is, in this life that we're living, there are people that don't know how to read the map because they don't have the key of Jesus. They don't know how to understand where to go and how to deal because they're missing the key that you have. And we need to make sure that we're always in a position of strength in every relationship so that we have the ability to help people with the key. And if you forfeit your influence and your love and your respect based on political parties and political views, you have lost. Because it's not about that. It's about Jesus. Do you understand? I know this is a hard word. I know you feel like we're having a rough living room conversation right now. But fam, we got to get it together. There's a world that's dying. There's a world that's struggling. There's a world that doesn't know how to understand the things we understand. Come on, we got to be that light. We got to shine our light. We got to be that city on a hill. We got to be that light that's not covered by a basket. We've got to shine brighter when the world gets darker. Number three, we need love because love unites. Love unites. You cannot have healing without unity, and you cannot have unity without healing. I love it. Look what John F. Kennedy said, JFK. He says, "Let us not seek the Republican answer or the Democratic answer, but the right answer. Let us not seek to fix the blame for the past. Let us accept our own responsibility for the future." Responsibility. You can say it. Millennials, you can say it. I'm one of you. I said it. Responsibility, y'all. We've got to understand it's up to us. We got to do our part. Let me put it this way. On both sides of the aisle, if you aren't willing to be part of the solution, you are part of the problem. See, this isn't in my notes, which means it's probably my best judgment not to say it, but I'm going there. I use my notes as a safe haven, a safety and a guard. But the fact of the matter is, see, what happens is on both sides of the aisle, people truly believe that God is with them. They truly believe that God is this or that God is that. And if you look in Scripture, if you look at the way the Republicans think, and they believe in the sanctity of life and the fact that God knit us together in our mother's womb and he called us from that moment, and that there's purpose in every breath and that there's purpose in that. And so they go, God is with me. And yes, God is with them. But if you look over on the other side and you look at the way the Democrats think, and they go, man, I am for the poor. I am for those that have no voice. I am for, you know, whether it be refugees, or I am for this, they've got Scripture to back them too. So can we understand that Jesus is not a Republican or a Democrat? He's got things over here, and he's got a few things over here, but if we could come together, we could do them all. Do you understand what I'm saying? Can we just focus on Jesus instead of the color, instead of all these things? Stop making it what it's not, and start making it what it is. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6 says this: therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and living through all. This divide, there needs to be a healing. We've got to mind the gap. We've got to understand there's got to be a healing. Has anybody ever had a deep laceration where you needed stitches, maybe a surgery or something like that? The point is, if you have a deep wound and it is not pulled together and mended together, it will not heal properly. You know? If you've ever needed sutures, it's because it wouldn't heal on its own. And if it ever did its own healing, it would never have the strength again of what it was. Do you understand? So right now, what I'm trying and I'm praying and I'm believing God, anyone that has the ability to speak up, let them pull together and force this ability to be able to say, guys, we can come together. We can come together. So in the same way a deep laceration will not heal without the divide being sutured back together, we cannot heal until we come back together and allow God's love to mend us in unity. Psalms 133, 1 through 3 says this: behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Where did he command the blessing and life evermore, life eternal? Where did he command the blessing? When brethren dwell together in unity. It is like what? If we know what oil is, it represents what? The Spirit. It's an anointing. So listen, when we come together and are united in the right things, that's where God's anointing is. That's where the Spirit is. That's where he commands blessing. That's where we find eternal life. Hello, it's in unity. We've got to put unity above what I feel. Stop arguing with a tree because you feel a certain way. Unity, it's standing together. It's not necessarily being exactly the same. Unity can and should celebrate diversity, but we need to be diverse, not divisive. We also must be united in the right things. You can be united in the wrong things. You understand that, right? Like when I think of the Apostle Paul, before he was that, he was Saul, and he stood firm and united with the wrong crew that was killing Christians. He stood united as one front to do evil. Look, I'm not just saying unity by itself is right. I'm saying we got to be united in the right things. 1 Corinthians says this when it talks about diversity. It says this: there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in every one, it is the same God at work. Look, he created us different. He created you to care more about this, and he created me to care more about this. But that's why unity gets it right. Because if we can come together and work out a way to care about it all in the right way, working together, there can be balance. We have to understand we were created differently, and just because I don't feel exactly the way you feel doesn't mean I have the right to tear you down. Doesn't mean I have the right to label you. Doesn't mean I have the right to name call you. Doesn't mean I have the right to just spew fire and just lose it. We don't have that right. That died with us when we gave our lives to Jesus. That was crucified with him. We're supposed to be a new creation. New creation don't act like that. Let's celebrate our diversity, not pit it against each other. Look what I love this. Ecclesiastes 4:12. It says this. It says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We are stronger together. We are. And actually, people are worried about the world ending. If anyone was to ever attack America, this would be a good time. Because America's attacking each other. If you want security for your children, come together. If you want security for your country, come together. Look, God is for us. You know when the scripture says, but if God be for us, who can be against us? Apparently we can be against us. Because right now we're the ones that are creating more harm in this country than anyone else. And we've got to get this stuff together. Where there's unity, there's power, and we're stronger together. Number four, love is irrational. When it comes to love, it is irrational. Think about it. It's not logical or reasonable. That is why it is so hard to live love in some situations. Because logically, we don't see why we should do that. When we reason, we go, well, that's not reasonable. I don't have to. Who says? It's my Play-Doh. But it's the irrational point of love. It's the exact reason why it points to Jesus. When we choose to love when we shouldn't love, because the world told us we don't have to love anymore when that happens to us. When we choose to be the exact thing Jesus called us to be, even though it doesn't look right. You know, I read in the Bible where martyrs are praying for those that are stoning them in the moment. Jesus is on the cross and he says, forgive them for they don't know what they do. Goodness gracious, people. And we think that we should be justified in our feelings, that we don't need to love somebody. You need to be in your word more than you're in your Facebook. Love is irrational. Matthew 5:40 through 42 tells us, if you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. What? That's irrational. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. What? I got things to do. I gotta be a good steward of my time. It's irrational. Give to those who ask and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. Oh, you got one of those friends. You got one of those friends. They're only around when it's paycheck time. They're wanting to go out and hang out that night. Goodness gracious. We've got to understand that what we're called to is irrational. And the quicker we get over it, the better we do at it. Some people would say, well, Chad, I would just get taken advantage of all the time if I did that. Well, maybe you need new friends. Maybe it's time to actually talk about the real situation. Your friends need to be cut off if they're going to abuse the love that you're supposed to give. You go, well, where's the love in that? Well, there's wisdom in that. That's a whole nother message. Love, it goes the extra mile, even when it doesn't want to. Love carries on. Doesn't boast, nor does it keep record of wrong. Both sides of the aisles. Man. For all that we're for the president-elect, love does not boast about your victory. For those that did not vote for this president-elect, love does not cast stones for the record of previous wrongs that were felt. We need this country to heal. Whether you like the outcome of this election or not, does not change God's call to promote love and to pray for those in authority. That's our call. That is our call. Look what it says in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3. It says this: I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for the kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God, our Savior. God calls to promote love and to pray for those, even those that we see as enemies. It says in Matthew 5:44, but I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Love is irrational. Your view on it is irrelevant. We're called to it. In the end, listen, our diversity is what gives us our strength and makes us a great nation. It's okay. We don't all have to agree on everything. We can be different. This country's been through a lot, especially the last 16 years. You know, you think, there's no way we're going to survive. Oh, my goodness. Do you realize the last 16 years you've survived more than you thought? In a time of war, President Bush has bombed more countries than any other president before him. And in a time of somewhat so-called peace, we've seen President Obama deport more people than any other president before him. So let's get the facts straight. We have been through a lot in 16 years. We're going to be okay. It's going to be all right. As long as God is still sitting on the throne and you're seeking his will for your life and you're believing that he is the only one that can give you a happy life, that he is the only one that can help you succeed in this life, you're going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Let's thank God. Man, I can't tell you, in the midst of this mess this week, I couldn't help but thank God for the American process. Thank God for the American process we get to enjoy. Thank God for the democracy in which we see, we get this change in this country, whether for the good or the bad in your view. At least in this great country, it's done with ballots, not bullets. Can we just remember how blessed we are? Even when the pendulum swings heavy one way and we think we're going to lose it, it was done with ballots, not bullets. How blessed are we? I love America. You should be praying for America by praying for those in authority. Hey, if God can touch your heart, who's to say he can't touch the person you're praying for's hearts? Maybe we should be more focused on interceding on the behalf of those that we are worried about more than complaining about them to your friends. Terry, why don't you come back? We also need to thank Jesus for having very big shoulders. It tells us in Isaiah 9:6, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Why don't you bow your heads with me?
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.